Be very careful. Be very careful. Don't just say it's just music. Music is not just. Anything that has words is not just. The words matter. All right? When they start singing all these their sexual songs and all of that, don't sing them. They are not good. Because anytime you are rehearsing words, you are empowering something. Are you getting my point? Don't ever forget it. Anytime you are rehearsing words, you are empowering something. You must know what you are empowering. So all you need to do is say, who should I? Just listen to the words once. I told you the first day I heard Snoop Doggy Dogg, I thought this guy exquisitely talented. I wasn't into rap music really, because by the time rap music was getting very, very popular, I was a serious believer. I was well singing serious praise, so all this rap thing. Yeah. But I still like good music, all right? So, in fact, the only rap music we used to listen to those days, there were two of them. There was a Steve Wiley, Bible Break. I don't know how many of you ever heard it. No, you most likely. It wasn't very, very good, but that time it was the only thing we had. Praise the Lord, for goodness sake, we're all going to take the Bible break, you know? I look back now, very dry, but I'm telling you, when your fingers start to pop and your feet start to tap, you're listening to the righteous rap, you know? And it's cool. Oh, yeah, yeah. I look, very bad music, but it was okay. That was the only one we had. Then one guy now came, Michael Peace. Michael Peace, he had one rhyme. The first track was, my God, the thing was, oh, you know, seriously. Michael Peace, all right? I won't sing the song for you, I've forgotten part of it anyway, but very nice. I really like it. Slow rhythm. His own rap was slow, all right? Very nice. But anyway, one day, after graduating, I went to see a friend of mine. I heard Snoop Doggy Dogg. And I said, my God, this guy is good. So I put in the CD, put on the volume. He sang two lines. I come out the CD, drop him somewhere. I said, what? Why can't this guy talk like a normal human being? What is nonsense, Doc? I'm serious. I consider the guy just too talented when it comes to rapping. That is, the guy raps flawless. That is, as if he's chewing gum. That is, the thing just flows. But I heard two lines of the rubbish he's singing. I said, not here. I removed the CD, threw him. Told the ones, I heard this guy too. What is his name? Shaggy. Oh, God. I said, this guy, God gave him a gift. And the first one I heard was, why me, Lord? I just said, they go shush. By the time somebody caught somebody sleeping with the girl next door. Now, no matter how nice you sound, you not only, you know, there are some people that they don't say anything, like this guy, Two-Face. Most of his music I've heard, they're very nice, they sound okay, but after I did it a few times, they don't even edify my soul. It's nice sounding. But some condemn your soul. Once they start talking, the band, he will condemn your soul. There and then, it puts a weight around you. Your prayer can't go beyond your windscreen anymore. Thank you, not here. The other guys, I mean, they sing some very nice songs, but generally, when you hear songs, hear the words. Hear the words. All right? I'm not talking about music now. The words don't agree with your spirit. Don't lift your spirit. Drop it. Some of them are even church songs. Just drop them. There are songs I will not sing, no matter how spiritual they sound. If Jim Reeves come back and I say, this world is not my home, I'm just passing through, I won't sing it. You are removing my ability to conquer. You are removing my ability to conquer. I won't sing it. Even though it's church, I will not sing it. I hear the word. Because when you are rehearsing things, you are empowering something. And for those of you who are married like me, please, go and look for some people who know how to sing some good, romantic... Like I said, those kind of songs that bring down the atmosphere for miracles is important to you. You should have songs like that. You should. And not only have it, you know, you should play it once in a while. And if you are playing it, you know, when your wife comes home, you will just, come here, baby. You know, that kind of thing. Atmosphere for miracles. It's very, you know, even if you don't vex it before, you know. Every lyric you listen to, you utter with your mouth is empowering something. if you can see me, I have this set of I have this one that I used for my wife that time, 15 years ago. You know, we married 14 years ago. So, few years before that. Songs of Solomon. Yes, volume one. Color My Love. You know, I have those songs, you know. Very, very serious songs. It's a good one. African Queen. What's the name of that guy? Two-Face. If you can grab it, hold it. It's good. And just sit down one day. Just sit down for house. You're my African queen, girl of my dream. That is just a singam. A singam. It's good. When your wife arrives, then she'll just be looking like an African queen. Do you understand? Then you go and do poster, African queen. They won't know what happened. They just, it's what you have been meditating on and incubating. Anybody talk nonsense, don't sing his song. Even if he's in church, he sang it. No, even if in a church, if the words don't look, because back to the main thing I'm saying, if the what you rehearse all the time, all right, is empowering something in your life. Back to why I read that. You see, God gave lyrics. God gave Moses a song that was supposed to be a song of repentance to help people come back to God when they're in trouble. Because he said, teach your children this song, that it will become a generational song. They won't even know why they are singing it until one day they will be singing in the midst of their troubles. They just say, wait, this was what the man of God said. And that's the word of God for how to come out of troubles. Back to this one. These were the words, these were the lyrics of the song that they were singing in heaven concerning Sennacherib. And any Israelite, this is what Judah would have been singing about him to solve their problems. Because Isaiah said, hear the word of the Lord about him. And then he gave him the words. Then that gave Isaiah a sign. And I said, now hear what is going to happen. Then he now gave Isaiah the prophetic word concerning what was going to come to pass. But before that, he said, hear what God says about the situation. And I'm saying to you again, every situation in life has something that God not just has said, but says about it. And this is what every member of his group, his cult, will do. They say the same thing. Listen, every situation in life has something that God said. Or he's saying. This is what prayer is. We learn what he's saying about the situation. And then we turn it into a song. Hey, I pray that anyway, when we start our school of ministry, I'm going to do that. I'm going to have sessions for people who write songs. Just to explain some of, I don't write songs, but to explain these principles. So when you are writing songs, write songs that brethren can, the people of God can fill their lives with. Songs that address different situations. You write songs of, and when you talk about songs of praises, you see, we thank God for all the songs that describe this might of God about how great he is compared to Jupiter, how only him make the galaxies innumerable, how only him is a God of the, like the one I like, of light, unapproachable, who at the same time dwells in the kind of darkness that we don't know. All those kind of descriptions is good though. It's in the Bible. The truth is that there's a revelation about them which when you catch, you will understand. But most people don't understand. I can say as of today, only astrophysicists, all right, can understand some of the scriptures with their believers. When you talk about the expanse of the heaven, some of us, the only heaven we know is between here and when the plane flies. We are not able to comprehend. You understand? The other day, my son asked me something. We were watching National Geographic, and they made a statement about, is it the Big Bang or something like that? And I said, what is the Big Bang? I said, when you get to secondary school, when you finish secondary school, doing advanced physics, we'll talk about it. Because I don't know where to start from. But they analyze some things, you know. I said, what's a supernova? I said, a supernova. How do I explain to this boy what a supernova is? Even the adults listen to prayer teaching right now. Half of them are wondering what a supernova is. How do I now explain to a little boy in junior secondary school what a supernova is? I said, don't worry. The time will come. We'll discuss supernovas. For now, just forget about it. In the same manner, many things in the scriptures. Now, an astrophysicist that has seen all of those things, all right, if he's a believer, he will be able to understand the might of God. He will be able to understand it. those scriptures will be alive to him. But for most of us, come on. We don't even know what they're talking about there. So I would like to advise those who write songs, all right? Write songs that the believers will fill their lives with it, and it will address different situations for them at different times. Real things. Because when we talk about praises, that's what I'm talking about. When you're writing about the praises of God, let me tell you what praise is it. Now listen to this. You need a new car, and then they just increase the tariff on imported cars, and they're not manufacturing locally yet. Now this is what praise is. Now listen to this. So you call your wife. Now wow. What did man go do for this country? They won't kill common man. Those that have the power to kill common man, Jonathan, Sambo, what's the name of that woman? Okonjo-Iweala, who's the head of customs. Anyway, those people, they want to kill common man. You are ascribing greatness to them. Are you seeing that? Now a man can buy a car again. You are ascribing greatness to economic policies. You must understand what praise is. These people, that's why they will scatter. You dey vex. You don't vex. Why? You are ascribing greatness to government, ascribing greatness to customs, ascribing greatness to a political party, and that's why you are reacting like that. In case you did not know, that's why it's called praise. Many of our grumblings and complainings in life is actually praising the wrong thing. I don't know whether you heard me. Praise is to, he said, ascribe greatness to our Lord. He's the rock. Are you getting my point? That is, he said, don't ascribe greatness to an economic policy. Because when you make such statements, what you're actually doing, you are making it impossible to buy that car because it just jacked up the tariff on importation. The extra 500,000, 1 million naira will have been required, all right, to get it, you won't have it. Why? You have ascribed greatness to the wrong thing. That's why songs that are, when you're talking about ascribing greatness, songs of praise, is to ascribe greatness properly. That's why it annoys me when you hear Christians talk. This entity will call Nigeria self. What is wrong? That's why there's no peace. There was a serious matter that happened in Maiduguri, I think it was yesterday. I don't know why you read about it. You read comments on it. That's called ascribing greatness to Nigeria as a nation, ascribing greatness to leaders. Those who ascribe greatness to God, they ask for more mercy for the land, and they continue to declare the word of God against those situations of security problems. So, I wanted to buy that car, and that happened. I laugh. The Bible says, he that sits in the heavens laughs. You see, when people, that Psalm 2 is one of the, in fact, is a song of God concerning when enemies gather against you and gather against the body of Christ. It's not just to go and pray, God, look at these enemies. It's to take a song of God. This is the word of God concerning Sennacherib. This is the word of God. Why do the people, the heathen rage? And the people imagine a vain thing. Are you getting my point? And it says, he that sits in the heavens shall laugh. So when there is a situation like that, one of the first responses is laugh. You're not laughing because it's funny. You are laughing because he that sits in the heavens shall what? Laugh. Now, so, that laughter is not because it's funny. The laughter is a statement of heaven concerning the situation. I hope you understand what I'm saying. It is not because it's funny. It's heaven's statement. So you now say, okay, listen, even the, what do you call it? There's one scripture. Even though the young lions lack and suffer hunger. Say, those that seek the Lord will not lack any good car. That's the word of God. Those that seek the Lord will not lack any good car. It's there. It's in the scripture. Any good thing. That is, what you are doing right now is that you are ascribing greatness. Now, there's a 1 million naira difference, we know. But 1 million is not God. I hope you understand that. What that means really is that it cannot say you will have that car or you won't have it. No, that's the truth. When God wants to manifest, he can manifest by giving you 1 million naira, dashing you the car, or removing the necessary, one way or the other, somebody can say, no, this rule will not become effective until 2016. He can manifest it different ways. But the mistake we make, and that's why we need to be corrected, is that we often ascribe greatness wrongly. Then we, after ascribing greatness to Jonathan Sambo, Okonjo-Iweala, and the head of customs, after ascribing greatness to all these people that are not God, we now come to the church and say, we worship you, our Lord. You are worthy to be praised. I say, what happened? We are singing praises. You ain't singing praises, you are singing songs. Are you getting my point? Yeah, that's a matter of fact. You're not singing praises, you are singing songs. Ascribing greatness actually has to do with situations. You are saying, who's in charge? Who's the boss? That's what it is, ascribing greatness. Now, that's part of the habit of praying we are talking about. So back to that issue, you see, I'm bringing an issue that you see that there was a word of God concerning Sennacherib. And if you look at it, God did something there. He ascribed greatness to himself. He made a mockery of that fellow and explained to him that I'm the one in charge. You should have known that long ago I proposed it. Listen, that's a song for Christians to sing. Please, I hope you're getting what I'm going to explain. Now, we're talking about this prayer thing. That's just how it works. That's how it works. It becomes a habit. It becomes a habit. It's not lock myself up in the room alone. It's good. That's necessary a lot of times. Please, I'm not in any way undermining that. But it's not that alone. That was what I said. It's a habit. The song I sing while I'm in the car, it's important. How I respond to the situations of life is important. It's important. Is important. Those are the things that make for when, that's why the Bible makes it, says to us, pray without ceasing. It is possible to pray without having any interruption. It is. And that is the advantage that believers have. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. And that's the fact that sometimes, remember we said all the time, Jesus said, the Bible says that he told a parable to them to the end that men ought always to pray and not to faint or get tired or lose heart. And I told them that parable. And I said then that that tells you something, that sometimes there will be reasons to be discouraged, yes. Because if that wasn't going to happen, there would be no reason for him to warn ahead that people might lose heart. Like, if you hear what happened yesterday in Maiduguri, and especially when things have been progressing the other way for some time, you suddenly hear this, you're like, what? What is happening now? That's the time men begin to lose heart, all right? And we have a warning that we must never let that happen. Now, there's one scripture I want you to read that is in Isaiah chapter 49, verse 4. Isaiah said this. He said, I have toiled in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity. He said, yes, surely the justice due to me is with the Lord, and my reward is with my God. I'm not going to read beyond that just because we should be closing about now. I wanted to bring out the issue that sometimes one has done what is right, apparently, but is not getting the result that he expects. Are you getting my point? And that's what happened to Isaiah here. And what I just want to bring out with analyzing that issue of Isaiah, all right, in details, is that there is something about prayer that's like a measurement. That is like, no, not a measurement, a measurable quantity. Can you remember that in physics? Now, some of you say you ran away from physics in school. This man has brought it up now in Bible study. You know, something that you can measure, you know, like you have water, you can measure it in volume. You have electricity, you can measure it in a different way. How do you measure electricity? Everybody's saying what they like, all right? Wattage is different from amperage and is different from voltage, all right? Amperage measures a current. Wattage measures power, I think. And voltage measures voltage. Anyway, whatever it is, you can measure it. You can measure it. And electricity, you know, can be stored. You know that? Yes. That's why you have batteries. Your batteries are storage forms of storage media for electricity. So your car, you can charge it, all right? So that is also measurable, all right? The amount of energy you have stored in the place can be measured in watts. It's possible. You can measure many things, all right? Now, spiritual things are like that also. And I'm daring to add to it again that prayer is also like that. And it appears, we won't go into details about it, it appears as if, again, there's a measure of prayer in different, there are different types of prayer. but it's a measure that is necessary to get certain jobs done. And the Bible says that when the clouds are full, they pour forth rain upon the earth, which means that for some time you may have to be filling that cloud with prayer before suddenly the rain pours. And sometimes you see scriptures like, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, it was as if we were dreaming. And it actually happens like that sometimes. But what was necessary was being done for some time, then the rain began to pour when the cloud became full. All right? And that's what I'm trying to explain to people. Never to get discouraged. Because even though the result may not appear apparent, listen to me, the cloud is getting full. I don't know what I hear what I said. That cloud is filling up. And it's interesting about clouds, all right, that are filling up. What measurement can we use for prayer? Okay, let's use wattage because it's power, it's generating power. So let's use wattage, all right? We'll call it Numa wattage, which is spiritual wattage. All right? So, assuming that we need about 10,000 pneumowatts to get a job done for the cloud to begin to pour rain. And what God does is to teach, like we've been instructing, because the more understanding you have, the more powerful the words, the prayers that you offer, all right? The more understanding you have. And then there's a power of righteousness, which has to do, again, also with the compassion and the seriousness you feel about the situation. All those things are put together. Understanding, your compassion, your tie to the situation, all those things are put together in your spiritual dynamo, generating the power, right? So let's assume now we need 10,000 pneumowatts to get the job done. And so God gives us the opportunity to increase our generating ability and gives us the opportunity, all right, to generate the electricity. This is the interesting part. If you stop having generated like 8,000, it will appear as if you didn't do anything. It's not all the time that it gives you small results. Sometimes it just gives you no result at all. It's what in physiology we call the all or none phenomenon. It's as if it's waiting. You have to hit the 10,000. That's why I say, sow your seed in the morning. And at night, don't get tired of sowing your seed. It's very important. You keep on adding to it. You keep on adding to it. And so that the day it finally breaks, maybe the man is getting a bit tired, but then he's already hit 9,800. It does little, there, just 200 more. It's not very intense, but it's 200. And then it hits the 10,000, and then the cloud begins to pour forth rain upon the earth. And that's why you be very careful of testimonies. No, I don't like testimonies too much. You know why? They are full of a lot of misunderstanding, misguidance, misdirection, just lead people astray. Maybe the man did something to generate the last 200 watts. But not having understanding will come up and say, hey, how to get... And then he starts a ministry on how to get results. Preaching only on the last 200 watts that he generated. And they keep on telling the story as if that's why God said, I will give you pastors after my heart who will feed you with knowledge and with understanding. Not people coming to give you testimonies. Because a lot of testimonies, they lead people astray. That's why people go around raising money. Go and check. All they do is tell stories. And that's why I tell people, you know, when you don't have understanding, just say, the widow of Zarephath just gave one offering, and bam, suddenly the heavens broke open. And then miracles began. Today, you are going to give one offering, and then nothing will be like that in your life again. And you have given that thing how many times? Your life is still the same. You've noticed it. Why? Simply because the widow of Zarephath did not give one offering. There was a reason that Elijah got to her door. You know, I keep on saying that thing. Go home and go and pray. What was the thing that dragged Elijah to her door to be able to receive that one offering? That one offering is the 200 watts she added to the 9,800 she had generated. Many people don't have anything generated. They want to start with 200 watts. And they expect 10,000 pneumowatts of release. It doesn't work. That's why, testimonies. I use testimonies a lot. One of the reasons being that, of course, they are good. And I'm a teacher of the word, and I know how to filter them. There are things you will tell me, I say, oh, God, wait, that one did not contribute. How do you know? That's why you came to talk to me. I'm a teacher of the word. That one did not contribute. In fact, that was your iniquity manifesting. That you got this result despite that one that you did. I have to go and ask God what else he used to help you, because this is supposed to reduce the power. I mean, let me give you one that reduces power a lot, and people use it. Should I give it to you? Yes. I began to pray. I began to remind God of all the offerings I had given. Those are the things those things, they kill power, neutralize every power you stored up. So if the man still got something, then you must ask yourself, what technique did God use? What did he employ to bless him? And God will now say, it's mercy. I know what I mean that. I said, Lord, okay, I understand. People do that a lot. They come up and say, as I was praying, I brought my checkbook and began to show God. This was a tithe. This was an offering towards that church building. And once they are talking like that, I say, lie. This one is a lie. God did not answer you because of that. If he did, he has proven the scriptures wrong. So did you still get your result? Yes, I'm just saying that is not how you got it. There are other things that God used to give you that result, not that one. Power of self-righteousness, it does not work. As I'm very aware, people come telling me stories, I just say, oh boy, those who follow this, your example, they won't get anywhere. Why? The Bible says he himself does not know how. Go and read the scriptures well. Many people get results when they want to tell you the story. They don't know which part of it to amplify. He said the man went to sleep. Day by day was sleeping and waking up. The earth was busy producing. He himself does not know how. When he comes to testify, praise God. Anytime I want to sleep, I hang one leg at the side of the bed. And I lie down and I say, this leg shall not come down until there's fruit on the field. God said he himself does not know how. Then by the seventh day, I said, I will not use the leg alone. I began to use the head. So I used to put my head at the edge of the bed. The Bible said the earth was producing. He himself does not know how. The only thing he did was to plant the seed. Anyway, I've left what I was trying to explain. Just wanted to help people. The point is this. Don't forget this is our generating thing that I'm talking about. You're generating power by prayer all the time. Even if it does not look like this result. And that's why God said, if he shall turn back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. That turning back thing, God doesn't like it, because you see, the man is walking, he's walking. He has reached 9,000 watts. Just a little while to go, then he loses heart. And that's why I teach believers, just do what is right because they are right, and don't try and count when the result will come. Did you hear what I said? Yes. Whatever you are doing, make sure it's right and make it a life habit. You will not be checking when the result will come. One day the result will come. In the same manner, prayer, it's a right habit. It's a habit of righteousness. Giving thanks in the midst of every bad thing is a habit of righteousness, not a way of manipulating God into making it right. You hear what I said? Giving thanks in the midst of bad things is a habit of righteousness. It is not a way by which you manipulate God into turning this thing into what we consider a right thing. Many people say that if you want God to change your situation, start thanking him for that situation. If you really are thanking him for it, why should he change it? Consider it for a moment. Listen, so if you want to thank God, learn how to thank him properly as a habit of righteousness. And that's why I have never been able to, in itself, say, Lord, as my hand is paining me, I thank you for the pain. Oh, Lord, thank you. I don't worship you for this pain. This pain, oh, God, thank you for the pain. Some people feel too, maybe I don't have the revelation yet. What I can, you don't say, I shouldn't thank God that. No, I have my own way of doing it. In the midst of the pain, I will thank you. Because I saw Habakkuk say it, even though the fig tree will not blossom. Are you getting my point? We understand the even though. We will still. So even though there is pain here, Lord, I worship you. Is pain working anything in you? Yes, all things work together for good. Whatever this pain is working, I receive whatever it is working, but I still claim my faith. I still claim my healing by faith in Christ Jesus. I'm not a pervert. I can never enjoy pain. Never. I refuse the ability to enjoy it. What I receive is what? The ability to endure. Anything we are enduring, we are hoping to come to an end. It's called endurance. Oh boy, this pain. I go worship the Lord. Oh boy, you go soon come out, I beg. In fact, I'm not going to tell about the vex in the name of Jesus. Pain, clear. Father God, as this hand is paining, I just worship you. because it does not mean that Jesus did not die for my sickness. It doesn't mean that the pain was not nailed to the cross. It is hurting me, but I still thank you. There are many other things to thank you for. The shoulder is not hurting. The elbow is not hurting. The head is not hurting. The other leg is not hurting. The back is not hurting. Father God, I like those ones. Thank you. I like you, those ones. Thank you. This one that is hurting, I reject the pain in the name of Jesus. And as I'm rejecting it, I'm thanking you because you are good. You know what? I can do that one for a lifetime. You get what I'm saying? But this one of using Wayo for God, Lord, I just thank you for the pain. Now, come on now. I just thank you for the pain. I said, you are thanking me. Why should I remove it? The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. No, that is very important. I tell you, anything you can't continue doing, don't start it to. Those of you want to go on 40 days fast so that God can answer you. Ross, I'll see you later. I'm not joining you. You know why? I have to eat periodically. It's a commandment of God. Even Jesus Christ, when he was hungry, they went to look for food. They didn't say, you are Jesus Christ, you enjoy fasting. Did they say so? They never said so. Look, the master needs to eat. And when he saw hungry people, what did he do? He multiplied food. I don't know. So, are you going to fast 40 days? I've told you again and again. So what if God imposes it upon you? I will thank him for it because one thing he does not add is hunger. Read the scriptures. All you self-righteous people, God sent me to you today. Be delivered. Amen. Say amen, now it's yours. No, what I'm telling you is a matter of fact. I say, 40 days, listen to me. Those saints of God that God sent me to, this is what he said I should tell you. He does not require 40 days hunger on your part to bless you, to put an anointing upon your head. He does not require it. I'll say it like that. Buddhism and Christianity are two different religions. So what if I'm a sinner? Repent. What if God wants to destroy Nineveh? Repent of your sins. Why should that one take 40 days? Why can't you do it in one day? Why? When you know that is that whatever you want to start doing, make sure it becomes what? A habit. It has to be a habit. Thanksgiving is a habit. Prayer must be what? A habit. Not something we just do so that we get quick results and then we're happy. Whatever happens in Nigeria, you know what someone said? God forbid that I should sin against him and not continue to pray for you. To constantly pray for the nation is a commandment of God for every Christian. And to constantly watch with thanksgiving is what we are talking about. Not praying with grumbling. There's praying with grumbling. We're talking about praying with what? With thanksgiving. Why did I bring that one up? Because sometimes results don't come as fast as people are wishing for them. But we must understand that we are adding. Sometimes you add things that your generation, your children will be the one to add to. And I'm there to say, many of the things that we are doing now, all right, we are adding to what generation started long ago. It's just that I believe that we will feel the cloud in this generation. Amen. That's just my own conviction. It's my conviction. I am persuaded in this, my own generation, we will feel the clouds and it will pour forth rain upon the earth. Amen. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Let's just bow down our heads and give the Lord thanks. Remember, we just summarized what we have been teaching in our school of prayer. And don't forget, it's a habit we are forming. Just say, Father, we thank you. Let's just give him thanks. In the name of Jesus Christ. Surely God's goodness and his mercy will follow you all the days of your life, and you will dwell in the presence of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. I declare to you that it is well with you. Amen. As this year comes to an end, it is still well with you. Amen. You travel for Christmas, you return, it is well with you. Amen. It is well with all that belongs to you. No evil will befall you. Amen. No plague will come near your dwelling place. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. As this year comes to an end, let's just declare this way. Every frustration in your life will come to an end. Amen. The new year will bring for you new light, Amen. New progress, Amen. New increase, Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ.